The new Health and Human Services Secretary is revamping management of healthcare.gov. Sylvia Burwell has appointed a new operations manager to closely supervise that website, and she plans to fill more management positions. The goal is to make sure this year's open season doesn't mirror the fiasco of when healthcare.gov first opened for business last year. We get more now from Elise Vibeck, who covers healthcare issues for The Hill newspaper. Elise, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. So what is going on now? Why now? Why weren't these people in place a year ago?
It's a good question. I think Sylvia Matthews Burwell is taking her first major step as Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services by appointing not just a new operations manager, but also she's trying to fill the role of a CEO for healthcare.gov, somebody who can head up the website as their exclusive job. And she's also looking for a CTO, a chief technology officer, because obviously that's a system that's highly technical and needs someone who is quite savvy to oversee it. So these are actually recommendations that were made by the Center for American Progress, the left-leaning think tank with close ties to the administration. They came out with a report a couple of months ago calling for these precise moves. Now, it's not to say that Sylvia Burwell got the idea at that time. She's known as a very effective manager herself with a lot of experience in the private sector, so it's not necessarily surprising, but she's certainly putting her mark on this website and on this system very early in her tenure at HHS.
And Elise, give us a sense of how it's going to look versus what it did look, the management structure, what it did look like last October.
That's right. I think it's still a question how much this is just an optical change and how much it will really bring accountability. There are so many different pieces of the Federal Health Department that work on this website, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is what's really heading it up, still will have an enormous amount of influence on how the system runs. But I think what Sylvia Burwell is trying to show is if you have a CEO and a CTO who are specifically devoted to healthcare.gov, and no other project at all, if there are problems, they can be held accountable. So I think that's really what she's doing. She's trying to show the public that she's appointing people who will ultimately be responsible, and if there are problems, she can point to them.
Now, before we get into the individual that's there now, I wanted to ask you about the state of the site itself. I mean, when it first came live, it was basically a movie set. There was a homepage, but behind it, it was pretty much timbers and construction and tar paper. How is it working now, and what about the back-end connections from when people sign up to the actual providers?
Yes, very good questions. It's certainly working better than it was last fall, significantly better, because as we know, the administration did succeed in getting more than 8 million enrollees on all of the exchanges by the end of April. So that's a pretty good achievement. That said, there's still a lot of work to be done at healthcare.gov. That back end that you referred to, that's such an important part of the system that drives the whole system, really still needs to be constructed. And so this new CEO and CTO will not just be managing a website that's already running well. They will be in charge of projects that are extremely important to ensuring that people can sign up smoothly next November.
And Elise, Sylvia Burwell has already announced that Andy Slavitt is going to be occupying another new position in this hierarchy. What exactly will he be doing, and how powerful will he be?
Yeah, he will be a principal deputy administrator with CMS, which will put him in charge of high-level operations, not only at healthcare.gov, but also across CMS's range of issues. So he'll also be looking at Medicare and Medicaid, open enrollment in both of those programs, presumably. But the reason he was brought on is Andy Slavitt was an Optum VP, Optum QSSI, which was a contractor responsible originally for building the data services hub at healthcare.gov, which is the central hub that connects a user to all of the different federal databases that can verify their information and allow their application on healthcare.gov to move forward. And in fact, this was a piece of the website that was working well from the beginning, and Optum and Andy Slavitt himself got a lot of credit even during during the fiasco of last fall for building something that, well, it wasn't connecting well to all the other pieces of the website because the other pieces of the website were so bad, his piece was working. And so Optum ultimately transitioned into the role of a general contractor for managing the repair effort at healthcare.gov. And Andy Slavitt was at the center of that, leading a war room to help with that tech surge that we remember so well from last fall, where the administration and Jeff Zients were trying to get together and make sure that users could sign on by November and do those applications by the end of last year. So he's very familiar with the team at CMS by that point. He's known as an effective manager, and he will now come on not only to help with healthcare.gov, but to help with other policy issues.
And so it sounds like he will be having as smooth a transition as a new person coming from the outside can have when they enter a federal agency.
I imagine so, because nothing can compare to the chaos and the fiasco of last fall. And he was one of the people at the very center of the storm, as I said, leading one of those war rooms and working on extremely tight deadlines to turn around a website that was effectively failed at that point. And so he will come on, and this is another move by Sylvia Burwell that seems pretty smart, to bring on people who were involved with that repair effort, who can operate well under pressure, who know the players at CMS, and who understand the importance of making this site work. I think if there's anything that Andy Slavitt brings to the table, it's a full-fledged devotion to seeing the system work.
We're speaking with Elise Vibeck. She's a staff writer at The Hill newspaper, specializing in healthcare issues. And what about Marilyn Taverner, the head of CMS? Does she have any role in all of this?
Marilyn Taverner, as head of CMS, will be overseeing some of these operations, but she has such a wide portfolio herself that I think Sylvia Burwell understood that she can't be overseeing the day-to-day operations and fixes at healthcare.gov. It's just too much work. And so that's why Sylvia Burwell has created this structure outside of the normal bureaucracy at CMS to oversee healthcare.gov. And again, that's not only a smart management move in people's eyes, but it's also a smart move from the optics perspective, which again is always part of the game for an agency that's so highly politicized like CMS. Sylvia Burwell knows that she's going to earn credibility with the public by having someone known as a CEO. I mean, that just created so many good headlines for the administration last weekend, because it just seems like a smart move to have someone accountable for that system.
But it also seems like from the inside that federal employees who have been working on this for a long time, or contractors for that matter, might see it as the new boss in town coming and bringing her crew in, as opposed to perhaps letting the people who have been working with it all along move on up.
I'm sure that's right, and certainly nobody really knew what to expect with the leadership transition at the very top of HHS, but I think there are a lot of people who understand that the administration can't afford to foul this up again, and that there were going to be drastic changes once Kathleen Sebelius left. So since it doesn't look like there's going to be a massive overhaul of the entire management of the project team at healthcare.gov, they are bringing in these new leaders to oversee it and to make all of that management more centralized. But I'm not sure that the federal employees on that project have any reason necessarily to be threatened at this point.
I'm usually someone coming in new like that, especially if they have some operations management, will understand that maybe the people on the ground level there, that we don't know who they are, they're just people working in CMS, probably have the best idea of what needs to be done of anybody.
That's exactly right. And that's going to be the major challenge for this new CEO and CTO. They have to know that at this point they can't come in and completely redo the website in their own image or the way they would like to. They need to work within the existing structure, see what's been done, see the enormous progress, we have to say, that's been made over the last 6 to 8 months in repairing the site, and then move forward from there. This is not an operation to completely redo the site as it stands now. Certainly there have been enormous changes to it since open enrollment began last fall. In fact, it almost looks completely different than it did then. But this is not a CEO and CTO who are going to be able to make their creative mark. This is someone who's going to need to manage the operations, finish the final projects, and make sure the administration has something good to show in November.
And Elise, just briefly, can you run down what is going to be facing them? We know that there is going to be another open season this fall. What else is going to happen?
Yes, there is another open season this fall. In fact, after the election in November, it's shorter than last year's, which means that they're going to be under even more pressure to make sure that it's working every single day of that open enrollment period. The 6 months that we saw this year were very unusual. But there are also other pieces of this rollout still to come. For example, the small business exchange is still in progress. The cap on out-of-pocket expenses is still a policy that needs to come into view. So certainly they have a lot of work to do, in addition to, like we've been discussing, all of the back-end projects at healthcare.gov that still need to be completed.
Elise Viebach is a staff writer at The Hill. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom and Emily.